I was telling the first service this morning that sometimes the balance in ministry between doing ministry things and family is a little bit hard to find. You struggle with what you need to do as a family member and what you need to be doing as a minister. My normal schedule is to be in bed early on Saturday night. My family thought I ought to be out to welcome in the new year, and so I did. By the time we made it in from down where we were, close to downtown, out to my house, I crawled in shortly before 1, crawled out at 6, and you know when you know that you're going to operate on shorter sleep and you just got that 5-hour span, you get in there and you think, well, I got to go sleep, got to go sleep, got to go sleep. There was no chance of that happening for me this morning. And so if I say anything sounds a little bit goofy, I beg your grace this morning and your mercy. I want to remind the family that next Lord's Day, we're going to welcome Terry Johnson to come and to be preaching to us. The Oklahoma Christian and Abilene Christian and Harding University and many of the Christian colleges have a metro program where they go into the churches around different cities and preach and are representatives of Christian education. And though we don't participate in that program every year, in fact, it's been a few years since we have. The elders wanted to invite Dr. Johnson to be here this year and to share in that program. And so next Lord's Day, Terry Johnson from Oklahoma Christian will be with us. And I know that we will look forward to that as he comes and shares the Word of God with us. If you would, open your Bibles, please, to Romans 8 as we begin our study this morning. The 8th chapter of Romans, we'll begin reading at verse 5. Romans chapter 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, because the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I love New Year. I don't know why, but I love New Year's. There's something psychological, I guess, in me that is triggered by just the turning of the page of the calendar from one year to the next. From December 31st, 1994, to January the 1st, 1995, there just seems to be something in me that says, brand new, clean slate, all kinds of possibilities, all kinds of potentials. I'm excited, I'm enthusiastic about what God is going to do in me and through me this year. And there's something about a new year and a new start that just gives me energy. But I know that by the time the year is a month old, the new wears off, and we start settling in and doing the stuff and practicing the stuff that we probably did last year. I know we go into this new year, and I've got all kinds of resolutions. I'm going to eat differently this year than I did last year. I'm not going to eat as much chocolate, and I'm going to eat more broccoli. I'll eat more asparagus and Brussels sprouts and a whole lot less Doritos and ice cream. I know that I'm going to be a better neighbor this year. I'm going to get into the lives of my neighbors, and I'm going to be more interested in what's going on. And I'll be a better husband, a better father this year, or I'm going to be a better friend this year. And I'm going to be more spiritual this year and less material. And I'm going to read my Bible more, and I'm going to study it more. And we have all of these lists of things, and we desire that all of that's going to take place as we start brand new and fresh in this new year. But a month from now, I wonder how many of those resolutions are going to be faded memories of what was resolutions of 95. And I come to understand that if I try to do the things God wants done in me by my own power, I fail again and again, and again, and again. This time of year is characterized by the spirit of Christmas. You hear that phrase a lot, spirit of Christmas? I don't know, it's kind of a strange thing that happens, this spirit of Christmas. There's something about this time of year that makes people more generous this time of year than any other time of year. Salvation Army says they receive by far the majority of their contributions for the year during the month of December around Christmas. And it's true of many of the shelters and many of the benevolent organizations around our community and our world where the spirit of Christmas seems to move in people's lives and they get more generous. Sometimes families that have been estranged and haven't even talked to one another in weeks or months or years, sometimes around Christmas, the phone call will be made, and an apology is expressed, and a forgiveness expressed. And families that haven't been together get together around Christmas. And for a while, everything seems to be on hold and on truce. And then after Christmas, it's back to the same old stuff. Dog-eat-dog competition. And back to divisions and grudges and all kinds of fights. I read the account, and I maybe even have seen it also on a documentary years ago, but I read the account of an event that took place during World War I on the fields of France. In World War I, they didn't fight the wars like we see them today. They had what they called trench warfare, and they would dig these long trenches across fields, and soldiers lived in those trenches. And they fought in those trenches, and they slept in those trenches, and they ate in those trenches, and they died in those trenches. In World War I, as the British were fighting the Germans in this trench warfare, the trenches just, you know, a few yards apart, where you can see your enemy and you can see what you're shooting at. They decided on Christmas Eve to call a truce, a ceasefire for Christmas. And so as darkness fell across the fields of France, in this one particular area, there was this beautiful tenor voice that came out of one of the trenches where the British soldiers were. And he began to sing in the most beautiful voice, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." And other voices began to join in as he sang. And the melody that went out across that death field where they had been fighting and killing one another was incredibly beautiful. And after that song had finished, a beautiful German voice began to sing in perfect German, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." And German voices began to blend in harmony. And the beauty of that song drifted across to where the British soldiers were. When daylight came the next morning, some of the British soldiers did what was unthinkable. They left their weapons in the trenches. And one of them had brought with them a soccer ball. They called it a football. And a bunch of the British soldiers went out there in what is called no man's land between the trenches and started kicking the ball around. And then some German soldiers left their weaponry in the trenches and came out and they began playing soccer with one another. And after a while, they were showing pictures of their family to one another and talking and laughing with one another through interpreters. They began to speak to one another and they played soccer all day, Christmas Day. Then darkness fell Christmas night. And the next morning when the sun came up, the carnage began all over again. And the killing started all over again. What had been the spirit of Christmas that had touched a bunch of soldiers to even get together in no man's land to enjoy a time of fellowship together, now they began to kill one another. And I've noticed about the spirit of Christmas, it works like that. The spirit of Christmas is temporary. It passes. But the spirit of Christ is eternal. The spirit of Christ, as Paul talks in Romans 8 over and over again, is that power that can help you live in a way you couldn't live apart from Him. As I look back over 1994 and some of the experiences of my own life and some of the experiences of the people in this church family, as I think about some of the victories that were won and the promotions that were gotten and the businesses that began to succeed, and I think also of some of the defeats, and I think of some of the griefs and some of the pains and some of the heartaches that people of this family have experienced, I look back and I think, how in the world can we deal with the grief of our life under our own power? How in the world can I deal with the grief in my life under my own strength? How can Kaylin deal with the grief in her life? Or Kim, the grief in her life? Or Terry, the grief in his life? Or Georgia, the grief in her life? Or Wanda, with the grief in her life? On and on and on the list could go with my own power and my own strength. And the bottom line is, I can't. And if I think that I'm going to succeed in life, and if I think I'm going to make any difference in anybody's life, and if I think I'm going to do any better at living on a higher plane this year than I did in 1994, I am sadly mistaken if I think I can do that under my own strength. Paul says over and over again that the power, the spiritual power that raised Christ from the dead, is the Spirit of God that is alive in you and in me. Here's my resolve for 1995. I resolve I will no longer try to live in the strength of my own power, but I will rely on the Spirit power that is in me. Brother, sister, whatever resolve you make today, beginning this new year. If it isn't accompanied by the Spirit of God in you and relying on His power to make you what you need to be and want to be, my guess is by your own power you will fail. By His power you will succeed. The Spirit of God living in me empowers me to do some things I can't do on my own strength. And I will just keep failing year after year after year until I finally decide I'm not going to operate anymore in my own strength. I'm not going to trust my strength any longer. I'm trusting His. There's a second thing I noticed about this. This seems to be the time of year when football coaches get their walking paper. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but every time I open a newspaper, it seems like somebody else has gotten the axe. Right here in our own state, our two largest universities ousted their football coaches just recently. Pat Jones at Oklahoma State, Gary Gibbs at Oklahoma University. Wade Phillips, Tom Flores, and on and on and on the list goes. I start asking myself why. Here is Gary Gibbs, a man of character and morals, a good man, an honest man, a man of integrity, who had taken a program that was struggling and all kinds of bad things going on and had made it a reputable program with reputable kids who respected each other. Why was he ousted at OU? I'll tell you why. Because the bottom line is you are judged on the basis of your performance. And if your performance in the one-loss ratio isn't what they want it to be, you're out of there. I started looking back on my own performance in 1994. And I'm here to tell you that if I'm going to be judged by my God on the basis of my performance, I'm dead. I could have been a better husband, maybe, in 94 than I was. I could have paid more attention to my wife and less attention to a television set. I could have played fewer rounds of golf and taken more walks with her. I could have been more sensitive to the needs in her life and more affectionate toward her. I probably could have been a better father in 1994 than I was. I probably could have spent a lot more quality time with my children and put a lot more spiritual emphasis on things with my kids than I did. I probably could have been a better evangelist in 94 than I was. I probably could have been more bold in sharing my faith with some people that I wasn't. I might could have said some things that I failed to say. Or I might could have done some things I didn't do. I might shouldn't have done some things that I did. And in an evangelist capacity, I think, you know, my performance wasn't maybe all that God wanted it to be. I probably could have been a better neighbor. I probably could have been a better neighbor and a better friend. I could have been more compassionate and more patient. I could have been a better driver. And as I look back on my performance in 1994, and I think about, thanks be to God that I am not judged by God according to my performance. I am a child of God because His Spirit is in me. And when 1995 comes to a conclusion, there'll probably be some disappointments in my own performance. But listen to this. I don't trust anymore in my performance to save me. I trust in Him to save me. I rely on His grace that has made me His child. And as I cry out by His Spirit, Abba, Father, I am a child of God. I'm a child of the King. And no matter what my performance is this year and how many areas I fail Him in, this I know, I'll still be a child of God at the end of this year. Because I've been adopted into His family and I'm His son and His Spirit lives in me and cries out, Abba, Father. Here's my second resolve for 95. Would you make it yours? I will not trust in my performance. I will trust in His. I will not trust in my own performance, but in His. Whose you are makes a difference, people. Who you are doesn't make much difference sometimes, but whose you are sometimes makes a real difference. I watched the Kansas City Chiefs a little bit of the game yesterday. Missed most of it, but I saw a little bit of it. I thought about the guy that owned the Kansas City Chiefs, and I don't know if he still owns them or not, but Hunt. What's his first name? Lamar Hunt. Lamar Hunt was inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. You go to Canton, Ohio, Lamar Hunt's in there. Lamar Hunt never played a down of professional football. Lamar Hunt probably doesn't know any more about professional football than I do, which is pretty limited. But you know how Lamar Hunt got in the Hall of Fame? He was born in the right family. His daddy, H.L. Hunt, had a lot of money, and he bought the Kansas City Chiefs and boys in the Hall of Fame because not who he was, but because of whose he was. Let me tell you something. Whose you are makes a difference. And because the Spirit of God is in me, He lives in me, I am God's son. And therefore, I won't trust in my performance, but in His. Because my salvation isn't based on my performance, it's based on His. Be resolved. I will not trust my own power. I'll trust the power of the Spirit living in me. I will not trust my own performance to save me. I'll trust in His power and His performance to save me. 1995 comes to an end. If you and I live by those resolves, God will make a difference in us this year. Let's pray. Father, forgive us when over and over again we try to operate life in our own strength, our own wisdom, our own power. Forgive us that we haven't learned after failure, after failure, after failure that we can't do it on our own. We need You. We need You so desperately. We pray, Father, that today You'll help us to turn over the control and the power of our life to You. And we'll trust in Your power to empower us to be the people You want us to be and call us to be. And Father, forgive us for trying to work our way to heaven, thinking that somehow by our performance we're going to be saved. Help us understand what a futile effort that is. May we trust, beginning this moment, in Your power, in Your performance to save. Father, this year we pray things will be different because we've relied on Your Spirit and we have trusted in Your performance for us. We pray these things in the name of the One who gave Himself for us, Jesus. Amen. Fresh start. New year. How about a new life? How about a new life in Jesus Christ? This morning, He invites you to receive and experience the new life in Him. Would you come at His invitation while together we stand and sing?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher,